Good morning. A couple of quick things. I know it wasn't in the prayer and praise this morning, but we really need to keep Jim Yantis in our prayers. He's still at St. Mary's and doing a little bit better than he was earlier in the week, but he can definitely use our prayers. So let's keep him in our prayers. Also, you still have, these cards are still there. I still want you to think about who's that one person. Who is the one person you know that you can pray for on a consistent, on a regular basis, that you can have the opportunity to just share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them somehow, and just continue to pray for them and keep them in your prayers. And I think only one person must have taken these, because my stack actually looked bigger after last Sunday. So there must only be like one person that knew anybody that doesn't know Jesus. So we need to go out and make some new friends. But if you know somebody that you have a relationship with, that, you know, you're not just giving them to the next person you see walking down the street, but there are these Room for Doubt cards that go with sermon series that begins next weekend. Just looking at some questions, some answers about faith. And so if you would, I won't attack you with them, but they're out there on the little table right behind where you shake my hand on your way out. So grab one. If you know somebody, if you know two people, grab two. It's okay. If you know four or five people, that's okay. I won't fault you if you grab them, but please, if you know somebody, grab one to give to them. So don't grab the person, grab the card. Grabbing the person might get you in trouble. I don't know. I love this story. John Weiss shares about his dad, Roy. If you've been in Missouri and you've had any contact with the churches in Missouri, you would know the name Roy Weiss. Roy Weiss is one of these figures that's above and beyond. I mean, he was a great man. He was a great teacher. He was just, his personality was so likable that everybody was drawn to him. And John Weiss, in his book, Jesus Prom, shares this story. He says, God says extraordinary things through ordinary people. My dad was one of those ordinary people. Every day, my dad prayed that God would put three people in his path that he could talk with about God. God never failed in answering that prayer. One day, my dad was driving home from work when he saw a farmer in a field motioning to my dad to turn down the country lane. So my dad did. He got out of his car, walked onto the front porch of the small farmhouse, and before he could knock on the door, a large man in overalls came to the door. Did God send you to talk to me? The man asked. Yes, he did, my dad said. The man invited my dad into the house. As my dad sat down on the couch, he noticed a shotgun on the coffee table. I was sitting here with my shotgun trying to think of one reason why I should live another day, the man said in a defeated tone. I can give you a good reason. God loves you. And I do too, my dad said back. The man broke down. His life had been hard. He had more problems than friends. By the end of the afternoon, my dad was his friend. By the end of the evening, Jesus was his friend. My dad had thousands of conversations like that one. My dad had thousands of friends who became friends with Jesus. I'm not going to tell you that you will always have those kinds of stories. But I like what another preacher said. He says, prayer gives us the power to do the impossible. So you might be asking yourself, as I was when I first looked through this material, why are we saving prayer for last? If we're looking at how to win people for Jesus, if we're looking at how to be on this mission that Jesus Christ left us with, why do we save prayer for last if it is the power to do the impossible? Well, it's not because it's the least important step in the process. Because if we look at it, it's the most important step. It's not because it's just the last thing we should do when nothing else has worked and we don't see any other way through. Because it's the first thing that we should do, and it should permeate every step. Rather, we look at it last because now that we've kind of looked at the others and we've discussed what we're supposed to be doing in this life on mission, it gives us the answer. What should we pray for? How should we pray? Why should we pray? We look at prayer last because now we understand the process and we know how desperately we need to pray. So this morning we're going to look at this last step in our life on mission. We're going to ask God about the power. We're going to ask for this power to do what it is that God has called us to do. We're going to ask for the power to do what only God can do through us. To do that, we're going to look at Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we could look at several others. Colossians chapter 4, I love that passage as well. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul says very much the same thing. But in Ephesians chapter 6, you may know the passage well if you're familiar with the Scriptures, because Ephesians chapter 6 is the spiritual armor, the armor of God. And prayer, Paul says, is our source of power. But then he asks the church, beginning in the 18th verse, he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." We think of the great Apostle Paul and the power of his gospel message. We think of the Apostle Paul and all he did for starting and growing and strengthening the early church in places where it never should have grown. But even Paul says, "I can't do it on my own. I need the power of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this mission that you've given to us, this mission to take your good news of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the work that he did on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and the hope that we have of life because of his resurrection. Lord, we thank you for all of that. We thank you that you have given us the task, given us the mission of taking that message to those around us who need so desperately the hope and the power that your blood offers. We thank you that you chose to use imperfect people like us to share your perfect message. Because, Lord, I understand that people are most likely to listen to those who've been impacted by the gospel and not just by the story that's being told. That people want to know and people need to know how the gospel has affected our lives so they can see how it can affect theirs. Lord, I just ask this morning that you would be with us in this place, that our hearts would be attentive to your word, that we would grow closer to you and have a deeper longing to share your message with the world. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to start where Paul finishes. I thought about using Colossians chapter 4 because Paul puts it in the other direction, but I like so much what he says here in Ephesians that I stuck with Ephesians. But we're going to look at it backwards. Because Paul begins by asking for the right words. But I want us to begin to look at what Paul says last. Paul says, "Lord, pray that I would have the opportunity." He's looking at the church. He's talking to the church. And if Paul if Paul says, I need you to pray that I would have the opportunity, how much more do you and I need to pray that we would have the opportunity? I mean, we think of these great evangelists who know how to share the gospel, who've just learned the ways to do it. And we think, I'm not one of them. I'm not that kind of person. That's not my personality. That's not the way I work. And my name isn't Billy Graham. I can't just get up and do that. I'm not the kind of person who naturally has these conversations with everybody I meet in every place I go. But here's the thing. I think we can be. I think that you can be. I think that I can be. And it begins by doing the very thing that Paul does. Paul says, pray for me that I would have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for me that the door would be open, that I would see the opportunities, that when they arise, and they certainly will, that I would see them. It's really what Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew chapter 9. We've looked at it already, but in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and following, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This is what his disciples see. They see Jesus teaching, and they see Jesus preaching, and they see people who are listening, and people who are being healed. This is what his disciples see. But listen to what Jesus says. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, you see me healing people. You see people gathering around to hear the message. And Jesus says, but you're missing what's in front of you. Because the harvest is ready. People are ripe to hear the message of the kingdom of God. People are ripe to hear that salvation is in their midst. People are prepared and ready for you to tell them about the love of God. And I think if Jesus was here today, he would be walking through the crowds of people. He would go to places like Target and walk among the people. And he would have these conversations. And he would go to Starbucks, and he would go out to eat dinner, and he would be just going places where you and I go and doing things that you and I do, and he would be talking with people. He just would have that kind of personality. He did then, he would today. And he would just strike up a conversation about things with people. And then at the end of the day, he would say, did you see them? Did you see the hurt on their face? Did you see the longing in their looks? Did you hear in their voice the desire for what you have to offer them? He would look at you and he would say, look around you. The fields are white unto harvest. Pray that the Lord would send out workers. Pray that God would send out workers. Pray that your own eyes would be opened, that you would see the possibilities. Because they're out there. They're everywhere we go. I like what John Weiss said about his dad. His dad, if you knew him, I would not have called him an ordinary man. But he was. He was just an ordinary man who took the opportunities that were around him. He took the opportunities that were around him because he was praying that his eyes would be open. I don't think that Roy Weiss was any different than you and me, except for the fact that he prayed and then he expected that God would really answer that prayer. When was the last time you prayed that God would put before you somebody that you could share the gospel with? And then actually kept your eyes open throughout the day, believing that it would really be answered. Because The problem is that too many times the opportunities are there and we ignore them. We ignore them because we don't want to feel uncomfortable. We ignore them because we don't have the time. We ignore them because we were looking for something else. And we miss them. Because we're so busy going through life and we're so busy doing our thing that we miss what's happening. I wouldn't recommend that you go out and watch it. The movie Click from several years ago, I wouldn't recommend it because some of the message isn't that great. But one thing that I saw in this movie was the fact that the main character, got this remote control that controlled the universe. It was a universal remote control. And it took me a long time watching the movie to figure that out. But he could control everything that happened in his little part of the universe. And he began to use it to skip through or to fast forward through things that he didn't want to be a part of. Family time at home, he would fast forward through the parts that he didn't want to deal with. He would fast forward through things that were boring and dull. He would fast forward through illness so that he didn't have to suffer with it. He would fast forward to the good parts when he knew something good was going to happen. But over time, it began to learn how he was using it. Until towards the end of the movie, he's missed great portions of his life, and he says, I don't even remember skipping through those. And it was because, the remote control started to learn his habits and his patterns of when he would skip things, and it would just do it for him. And here's the thing, our lives are a lot like that. The things that we make time for today, we will begin to consistently make time for over the next few months, the next few years, and the things that we choose not to do, we'll continue to choose not to do them. And so when we pray, God, give me the opportunity to share the gospel, and God brings somebody in front of us, somebody in front of you who needs to hear the gospel, and you say, not now. Not now. Not today. Not this person. Not in this situation. We begin to say to ourselves over and over again, yeah, but God wouldn't answer that prayer that way. God wouldn't want that person. And over time, we get to where we don't even see the opportunities that are so right there in front of us and so obvious because we've skipped them so many times before. And I think that's why Paul says that he had to pray for the opportunity to share the gospel, because he was just like you and me, and he had those opportunities, and there probably were times when he said, okay, I'll do it, but it's not what I want to do. Pray that I would have the opportunity to declare it fearlessly as I should. And I think that's the other part of it. It's not just that we need to pray for the opportunities, but we need to pray that we would have the courage to take those opportunities. We need to pray that we would have the opportunity because all too often it's easy to not. Because here's what I've learned. Opportunity looks like work. Opportunity looks like time that I could spend on something else. Opportunity looks like somebody that may not feel comfortable for me to visit with. Opportunity sometimes looks dangerous. An opportunity sometimes looks ludicrous. You see, the opportunities that arise before us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ are not the comfortable and safe and reasonable things to do. I can imagine being there with Roy Weiss, and you walk up to a door, and if Roy Weiss said somebody looked like a big man, Roy Weiss was kind of a large man himself, and if he was saying somebody looked like a big man, this was a big man. And to knock on the door and to say that a big man was standing there, and then further to see somebody sitting there with a shotgun, that doesn't sound like a safe place to be to me. I could think of a lot of reasons to turn around and leave. But that's what opportunities looks like. Opportunity may look like a cup of coffee with somebody when you don't have the time. Opportunity may be a bag of groceries when you're not sure you have enough to feed yourself for the next week. We don't know what opportunities are until they're before us, but here's the thing. I can tell you that opportunities, they don't look like something that we often want. Because if they were things that we always wanted to do, we'd all have these great stories about how we were always doing the mission. And this sermon series would have been pointless. If it was always easy, if it was always what we wanted, then Paul wouldn't have said, "Pray for me that I would declare it fearlessly." I think that Tim Harlow and Bill Hybels are right. Tim Harlow comments about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I love this passage of Scripture. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Or the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." You see that? That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our job. The ministry of reconciliation. He says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, we want to talk about being ambassadors, Tim says. But then he says Bill Hybels is right when he points out that there are too many ambassadors hanging out in the embassy. There are too many ambassadors hanging out in the embassy. There's too many ambassadors staying where it's safe. There's too many ambassadors talking amongst themselves about the job they're supposed to be doing. There's too many ambassadors enjoying the privilege that comes with the job, instead of doing the responsibility that the job entails. There's too many ambassadors that are sitting around enjoying one another's comfort instead of going out into the dangerous world with the dangerous message that we have to share that is so powerful, because it is the only message of salvation. There is no other name given unto men for salvation but the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to God the Father but through the Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other truth than Jesus Christ himself. And there are too many ambassadors sitting at the embassy enjoying the safety and the privilege of the job without doing the job they're called to do. We have to pray for the opportunity, because here's the truth. Sometimes the prayer is the opportunity. Sometimes the prayer is the opportunity. Sometimes it's just the act of praying that gives us the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Weiss says this. He says, "Love asks. Love never assumes. One of the best questions we can ask people is, how can I love you? Too often we assume we know what people need, or how people need to be loved or want to be loved. Too often we make the assumption when we should ask the question. Too often we assume we know what somebody needs, when realistically we only know what we want to give them. We don't know what they really need unless we ask. Here's the thing, everyone is fighting a battle. If we were to sit down this morning and I were just to go row by row, person by person, and I could just ask you, what is the greatest thing that you are facing today? What is the greatest challenge? What is the greatest obstacle? What is the greatest need in your life today? Every one of us could say, this is the battle that I'm fighting. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's scheduling. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's just getting your hands around something that you think you need to understand. I don't know what you would tell me your greatest need is, but here's what I know. Every one of us is fighting a battle. Every one of us has something we need, and so does everybody else in the world today. And a lot of people would really like help fighting their battle. If they have nothing but a small crack in their door to faith, they will really likely give it a shot. If you simply say, can I pray for you? They're likely to say, sure. I don't know what good it'll do. I don't believe in that anyway. But I'll let you pray for me anyway. What is there to lose for them? Offering to pray for your friend doesn't insult their pain. It rather gives it some legitimacy. It says, I know you hurt, and I know you need help. Let me help. We need to pray for the opportunity, because sometimes the opportunity really is just the words of prayer that you can offer to somebody. We need to pray for the opportunity, Paul says. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. But he also says in the verse before that we need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom. He says, pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul is saying, you know what? I know what to say sometimes, but other times I really just need you to pray that I would have this clarity of my mind, that I would have the words to speak. Because sometimes we just don't know how to approach the opportunities that we have. You know, sometimes that's the fear that keeps us from taking the opportunities, is we're not sure how to approach them. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes we don't know how to direct somebody. Sometimes we don't know how to help. And sometimes, in those times, we need to pray, God, give me the words. Give me wisdom in facing this situation so that I can help my friend. Because you can't simply memorize a line and say, this is always the answer. I'm sorry to all of those who've been Sunday school teachers, you can't always say that Jesus is the answer. I mean, he is. But you can't always say Jesus is the answer. Because not everybody is in a place for you to say, oh, just give it to Jesus. Let Jesus handle it. Jesus will be there to encourage you. Not everybody is ready for that. And so we have to say, how do I approach this situation? And we need to pray for God's wisdom. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God who gives without finding favor. Ask God. He will give you wisdom. Chip Ewald, one of the ministers on staff at Westside Christian Church in Springfield, said this. He says, prayer is the way to get is the way that God gets what He wants from us. It is how He makes His mission our mission. Have you thought about that? Prayer is not about me saying, God, this is what I want. Prayer is not about me aligning God's will to my will. It's about God aligning my will to His will. Prayer is how God gets what He wants. And so, the greatest, God loves it when you come with this prayer. God, give me wisdom. Because what you're saying the same thing that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're simply praying in that moment when we ask God for wisdom. When Paul says, pray to me, pray for me, that I would be given words to speak. What he's saying is, God, I want your words to be coming off of my lips. Mark Batterson says this. He says, prayer is the difference between the best that you can do and the best that God can do. You want to do something on your own power? You want to try to influence and win your friend for Jesus on your own power? It probably isn't going to work. You're probably not going to get very far. But when you start praying to God and you start asking God for His will, then you begin to sense and then you begin to have God's power, and then you begin to see the best that God can do. And the slightest thing that God can do is so much better than the best thing that I can do. That I can't do this on my own. Sometimes we have to have wisdom on how to approach the opportunities, and sometimes we have to have wisdom on how to communicate the truth. You know, sometimes we need to know when to speak the opportunities, but sometimes we need to know what. Sometimes we need to have those words, the right words, the right comfort, the right care. Sometimes we need to know what. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and I know we can't take it as a blanket statement, but I think it's kind of the way Jesus, God, works. Jesus looks to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. And he says, be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. I know that that isn't for me because I haven't seen any synagogues lately, locally. There might be one here in Decatur, but I haven't seen it. I'm not too worried about it. But here's the thing. He says, be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I don't think that we can count that as a blanket statement, that we will always have the words given to us by the Holy Spirit. In every situation and every time. But here's what I do believe. I do believe that if we are putting ourselves in contact with the Word of God, and that we are praying that God would give us the words to speak, and we really believe that He will, that we'll know. That the Holy Spirit will bring to mind the things that we have put in. Here's the thing. Have you ever been around something that was being built? You know, when a builder is building something, they rely on somebody to deliver the materials. And when the materials are delivered, then the builder can build. God can only use what we give to Him to build with. If you're not in the Word of God on a regular basis, and I mean more than just showing up here for 1 hour on Sunday morning, if you're not in the Word of God on a regular basis, you're not going to have the materials for God to use when He brings somebody in your path to share the gospel with. You see, this is a two-way street. You have to be involved. You have to be putting the Word of God in to your life. You have to be in the Scriptures studying. You have to be in community, in worship. And you have to be in prayer on a regular basis so that you have this flow of communication with God and God can be building into your life. And I believe beyond all else that when we're doing that, that the Holy Spirit will use that which we have put into our lives to help us to have the words and the attitude and the power to share the message of Jesus Christ. You see, we might not have the opportunity to save somebody's physical life because we pray for an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But we must always remember that we can have a part to play in saving somebody's spiritual life. And from my vantage point, this is much cooler, a much cooler prospect anyway. So this morning, I want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you to grab one of those One Life cards. And I want you to really think about, if you have not already, who is one person that I know that needs to know Jesus Christ? And start praying for them that the soil of their life would be prepared. And then start praying that you would have the opportunity to plant a seed if it's not already been planted. And if it has, that you would have the opportunity to nourish that seed. And maybe you would get the blessing of being a part of the harvest. You need to pray that God would give you the opportunity for that one life. Because there is a world of people outside of these walls that need to know that Jesus is the answer. They need to know that there is only one way to the Father, and it is through Jesus Christ, His Son. And here's the thing. God said, this is how it will be done. He says, behold, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the very end of the age. And He did not give us a plan B. You and I are God's plan A. I am God's chosen instrument to share His gospel message with those around me. And you are God's chosen instrument to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around you. And we cannot do it in our own strength and our own power. If the Apostle Paul could not do it on his own, what makes you think that I or you can? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God working through us. And we get that power through prayer. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And the invitation is for you to come and to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to walk down the path that He has called us to walk of sharing this message. But if you've made that commitment, that decision in your life, that the invitation is for you to give the Holy Spirit, to give God the power and the authority to work in your life as He wants. If you need to make a decision, won't you come as we stand together and sing The Old Rugged Cross? Somebody reminded me that it's the first Sunday, so we should have our offering this.
Our loved ones in the glory, whose forms you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? In the glorious days of childhood, often told of wondrous love. Your soul.